We're back with you on AM 1320. All right. We have meteorologist Jim Corbin in studio with us this morning. We have a phone call with us. Maybe you would like to ask Jim a question or two. We'd love to have you out there. And good morning. You're next.
Oh, good morning. This is Carla from Brattleboro.
Hi, Carla.
It's a lot like Attleboro, but it's Brattleboro. Yes. It's the one and only. It's in Vermont. And
I'm Carla.
A friend of Jim's.
How you doing? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, I'm listening online. So.
Excellent.
Pretty cool. What I was wondering was, you know, typically after a frost, you'll get what they call Indian summer, you know, a couple warm days.
Yep.
Can there be more than one Indian summer? Every time that you get more warm days, is that all considered?
Yeah, there's kind of some confusion over the years as to, you know, what Indian summer really meant. I mean, a lot of it had to do with picking of crops, and then you after a frost, so you better make sure you do it then, and then you enjoy the relief of not already having done picking of crops, you know, harvesting, and then you get to enjoy the last sort of hint of summer, and I think that's what really it is. You know, of course, nowadays, to be politically correct, it's what is it, Dom, that now we call Indian summer?
Native American summer. Yeah,
but no, why? So how cold, Carla, did it get in Attleboro the other day?
You mean Brattleboro?
Brattleboro, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of been all over the map this week.
Yeah.
Really cold Monday and warmer, and then today was not too bad, like 45 or something.
Yeah,
some
snow the other day in a few places, right?
Yeah, Sunday, that was weird. You guys were talking earlier about where were you when you... we had like a snow squall, and I was at church, and
wow.
I was looked out the window, and it was very weird. So just a bit of a snow squall, just a teaser.
A lot of times when it snows or it gets real cold early, unusually early, it's usually an indication that the rest of the upcoming winter is not going to be all that snowy. Now, that's not too difficult to say after last winter, but the odds are probably 90% that we're not going to get as much snow this upcoming winter and not as cold as this upcoming winter. As you know, the Boston area and here in Attleboro, that's why I said Brattleboro is just Attleboro adding a BR to it. But anyway, this past winter was snowier actually in southern New England than it was in some of the northern areas of New England. Maybe not in Brattleboro as much, but if you go up to, say, North Conway or even northern Maine, it was just very cold and mostly on the dry side. So all the storms were passing through southern New England, and most of central and especially northern New England were actually getting very little snow, just bitter cold. I think you might agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my mom, she got in Braintree. They got the most snow.
Yeah, it was
right there in the Boston area.
Yeah, the South Shore actually was somewhat of the jackpot for snowfall in most of New England for a rare situation. But I'm in Mansfield, but we were, you know, in that general area. I think the actual jackpot is one of my cousins. It lives in the Hanover area, and I think that was one of the towns, and Hanover and vicinity, southeast, obviously, you know, Boston, and that area got really almost the most snow in all of New England, outside of, like, Mount Washington or, you know, some of the high mountains.
Yeah.
But anyway, so how's everything going up there, okay?
Yeah, looks like we've got a nice weekend on tap, so...
Excellent. It's good to good to have been talking with you online. Carly used to live right next street over from me in Braintree many years ago. Mm-hmm. And so your mother is still there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been in here I go again. Brattleboro for what you said, 22 years?
Since 1990.
So, okay, so 25 years. Yeah. Wow, okay. Yeah. So you must like it. I mean, down by the river. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I used to, as I told you.
I do love Vermont.
No, it is beautiful. Gorgeous. And as you know, I told you, I went to school at Linden State up in Lindenville, and we used to go to the big town of St. Johnsbury. mm-hmm. And I had a friend that lived in Bellows Falls, I think it was, many years ago. Not exactly the Taj Mahal of Vermont, but beautiful state. And how often do you go into the mountains? And do you like the foliage and everything?
Oh, sure, yeah. Where I'm working right now, the foliage is great. It's kind of a it's at a college in, you know, up in the hills. So
yeah.
The foliage is great. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, this is, as you probably heard me say, this is my favorite time of year. September and October, and then later November and December is, outside of the holidays, is the worst time of year as far as I think weather-wise. There's not necessarily a lot of snow quite yet, and yet all the leaves are off the trees. It's a lot of cloudy skies and dreary, cold and wet. So that's what we're coming up with over the next few days, next few weeks. But other than that, everything's fine.
yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks for all the info.
Great. And again, great talking with you. And I'll check my email. If you have something else, I'm going to check it out. But thanks again, Carla. Good talking with you after, maybe 30 years or something?
Uh-huh.
Enjoy Brattleboro, not Attleboro.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we'll see you later.
Go Pats.
Definitely.
All right, thanks, Carla. All right, so there's a woman that's who's actually you've known for a while, listening online at WARARadio.com. It doesn't matter where you live, you know, if you're in range, or you know, you can of course listen to us, but you can also call us online as well, WARARadio.com. You can listen to us as well. All right, we got another phone call. We're gonna go back to it once again. Good morning. You're next.
Good morning, Dominic.
Hey, Dan. How you doing, buddy?
Good. You?
Excellent.
That's good. How you doing, Jim?
Very good, Dan. Good. Thanks for calling.
No problem. You sound different. I mean, now I'm talking to you, you know, on the phone, not Dad. It sounds like you, but when you're listening on the radio, you sound a lot different.
Yeah, well, it's the quality, I think, of quality of my stuff. It sounds clearer, apparently, when I call on my cell phone. I'm going to probably do a little bit more often if the complaints keep rolling in that I don't sound good.
Yeah, no, Danny sounds younger on the phone in live in studio, right?
There you go.
I'm only 25.
That's
so
it.
I mean, you know,
25.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I mean being in the studio, it kind of comes across the same way like when you used to be on TV. You know, sound like that. Like I said. Maybe it's the quality, you know, the equipment.
It's the quality. It's more like I really sound, you know, whereas it's like, you know, you're getting a call from someone on a bad cell phone and you can't understand what they're saying or whatever. That's not really what they sound like when you're going to talk to them regularly, you know, face-to-face, for example. So you got the event coming up this weekend?
Yes, and I'm hoping that you can keep me with updates here. Yeah. Hopefully you can do that through the weekend.
Yeah, right now I think with some luck, Dan, that any showers would be scattered and probably Sunday morning. So so by 1 o'clock, I think that's when it is, right? 1 o'clock. It looks like it'll probably be right around 60 degrees, maybe not completely bright and sunny, but very comfortable conditions considering it's late October.
Well, you know what? We can handle that. That's not a problem.
Dan.
As long as we don't get the rain.
Exactly, Dan. I understand. I was looking at the calendar. It looks like there may be one of the AACS guys going down there to videotape that as well on Sunday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I did go into studios the other day when I was with you, John.
Yeah.
And I wanted to invite Jim Jones. Like I said, Jim's been really nice. You know, we're friends on Facebook, and you know, super nice guy. Mm-hmm. He does a lot for the community, and it wasn't to get somebody. I just wanted Jim to come down and, you know, with his family and enjoy. That's what it's all about.
Right, yeah, because apparently they did put it on the shooting schedule, and I did see 1 o'clock on Sunday, so hopefully one of the people will be down there. I'm not sure who, but whoever is out there probably will head down there.
Oh, great. And unfortunately, Mr. Rafferty turned around and sent me a little message. He has to work.
Oh.
So he won't be able to MC, so he left it up to me. I'm like, oh, lovely. Thank you, you know? But we'll get through it.
It'll go through with it'll be a wonderful afternoon, you know, especially for your son, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking for. Like I said, and Brandon's not looking for any recognition. You know, this is just another thing to Brandon that, you know, hey, it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing. And that was like yesterday. We were driving. We had a little job. He had a little side job. We're coming home. And there was a bus in front of us, and these kids were waving. And all of a sudden, Brandon's waving back. I said, do you know them? He goes, no. He says, but it's the right thing to do. He says, it doesn't hurt to turn around and say hi to somebody or wave to somebody. I'm like, well, there you go, Brandon. That's awesome. You know?
Uh-huh. Right, exactly.
Dan, can I ask you, how big is the fire pit that he built?
That there.
Roughly, you know, roughly.
Yeah, no, it's roughly about 14 feet long.
Wow.
And about 4 feet wide, Jim.
Great. So you can do a lot of cooking on that.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, yesterday I had to go over there in the morning, and I started the grill up because a gentleman turned around. Brandon got the wire mesh, but, of course, having to weld, Brandon's only welded once at summer camp. So a gentleman was kind enough. He's like, you know, that's not a problem. I'll put the bars on it. So we wanted to burn any of the excess off. So we got the charcoal out. We turned around and started it right up, burned it off. So it's got a nice little crisp already on the grill. So like I said, we should be in good shape. So like I said, it's a good size. If you've ever been to the Attleboro Elks, they have a real big one. And this is pretty close in size.
Okay. Well, wow, that's great. That's super. A lot you can do with that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And like I said, hopefully the church at a later date, maybe in the spring next year or the summer, they're going to try and put a roof on it. So that'll just even kind of, you know, add to it. And plus it makes it a little bit easier if you have a little bad weather to be able to cook outside, you know.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And, of course, as I mentioned to you the other day in studio, Dan, I says right after all the barbecues, you know, a lot of the kids and even the adults probably want to do a little s'mores cooking on the grill as well.
Exactly. Yes, I'm sure that the adults are going to have something special planned to turn around and do that. So, like I said, we're just looking, you know, for good weather and for everybody to turn around and come down and enjoy themselves and have a great day. That's what it's about. Giving back and enjoying, you know, no matter who wants to come down, have some fun, listen to some music, and there'll be some food there. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, bring the appetite, right?
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of hamburger, hot dogs. We went around. Brandon got a lot of local people. Willow Tree Poultry Farm.
Do you love a parade?
They're going to donate some macaroni salad. We went to Stop and Shop. They're donating a few things. Shaw's. DJ. So like I said, it's nice to see the community all come together, you know, and get together and, you know, have a special time. And like I said, let everybody turn around and celebrate and enjoy.
That's exactly what it is. So, hey Dan, again, congratulations for that for Brandon, and really our sincere thanks, of course, to him, of course, and good luck for a huge success for Sunday as well.
No, thank you, Dominic. Like I said, thank you for turning around and doing that CD that really meant the world to me. I wish you could have been there, but I totally understand. Same thing, Jim. I understand you got family commitments.
Yeah, Stan, I'll send you an updated forecast tomorrow, late in the day, just as an update. But again, even if anything happens on Sunday, it wouldn't be anything too much, I don't think. So I think everything should go well.
Yeah, no, that's what we're hoping, because tomorrow we're going to go, we'll pull picnic tables out. Not a big deal. If it rains a little bit overnight in the morning, that's not a huge thing. We just want to make sure that we got some dry weather to kind of set up, have a little ceremony, let everybody turn around and enjoy themselves. And then, like I said, if the sky wants to open up later in the day, then, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah. Well, good luck once again, Dan, and hopefully everybody will come out there. Once again, 1 o'clock over at the barbecue pit, the new barbecue pit. It's behind St. Vincent de Paul Church in Attleboro.
Sounds great. And Dominic, hey, have a great week. Enjoy yourself. And Jim, have a great time with the family this weekend.
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right.
Take care.
Yep. Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, that I tell you, I went by that a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Boy, I tell you, that is a huge-looking barbecue pit. They're going to have a nice chime there.
Now, when I was at the car wash there with Dan and his son and the others in the summer, or whenever it was, the spring or summer, that was in the parking lot of the church. Now, the pit is on the other side of the street, right where on the other side?
The pit is actually, if you're looking at the church, it's like right to the side of it. If you're in the parking lot, it's like right there.
Oh, it is right there. It's not across the street where they have other,
that's where they do the PA club has there. It's actually behind, between.
So it's near the church, though. It's not near the
PA
club.
Yeah. Right. It's exactly, when you really look at it, it kind of looks like behind the PA club, and then the church is right there as well. So, and the church is on one side.
I'm going to drive by there. Check it out this afternoon.
It's a great little area right there. All right, we've got another phone call on the air with us. Oop, I guess not. There's our first gremlin.
Gremlin, call back. Call right back, caller.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it's usually with Dom's show for some reason. Yeah, it's the gremlins like to get in early.
Yeah. See, now try one more time. So usually if a gremlin will be out there, then you call again, and then there's nobody on the line. And the third time is usually is the magic person. So all right. So this one is someone back on this on the air.
Excellent.
Good morning. You're next.
Good morning, Dominic. Chuck Whalen calling. How are you?
Oh, my God. It's Chuck Whalen. How the heck are you?
Very good. Great show as always, Dominic.
Thank you. What in the world are you doing these days?
Well, almost anybody I can. I'm sorry. No, everything's been very, very good and keeping busy and having a good time. I want to speak with your guest, if I may.
Yeah, go right ahead, Chuck.
Good morning, Jim. Good to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you, Chuck.
Your experience and professionalism comes through loud and clear, I'll tell you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Certainly. I always enjoy your work. What I'm looking for is kind of a mini weather station. I'm also fascinated by the weather.
Yep.
Now, the thing is, I'm seriously visually impaired, so I need something with speech. I bought a talking indoor-outdoor thermometer one time from a low-vision catalog, but it was worth what I paid for nothing. I'm looking for something of quality, perhaps an indoor-outdoor thermometer, maybe a barometer, and a weather velocity, a wind velocity type thing. That type of setup, something at least approximate like that. Any particular place you'd suggest I start, Jim?
Well, are you saying that it would have to be something that was always audio? In other words, visually?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think companies, I actually, my brother and I used to have a store over in Pembroke. About 7 or 8 years ago, for a couple, 2 or 3 years, and we would sell instruments. And I have a lot of inventory that I just have in storage right now. But it's all it's not it doesn't have like a talking kind of a thing.
I understand.
So I mean, I if you would be interested in that, I could talk to you about that. But in terms of the audio or having something that will talk to you, give you the wind direction. One thing you can always do is, it might not be right where you are, but to get a weather radio.
What would you have? Right. Matter of fact, I'm listening to you on that now. It's a sea crane radio.
Okay.
It's called a solar observer. It's got the crank or the solar panel and also the little weather dial as well.
Yeah. Is that a radio that also gives forecasts and things like that, or just the just an observation? Or
I'm sorry?
Does it give observations of where you are, or does it give forecasts?
It's out of Taunton, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's close. They give the Providence.
They'll give you the. They'll give you the. I have a weather radio. I'm bringing this up because that's one way you can at least get information. It wouldn't be right where you live unless you were living right in Taunton, for example.
It'll
give you Boston, Plymouth, Taunton, Providence, North Smithfield,
right.
Worcester. Really, observations from all areas. Now, it's not a weather station, obviously. It's
right.
On the air. Now, there are some companies that I think might have audio. You might want to maybe try a company like Oregon Scientific. They've been around for a while. Even Radio Shack, of course, they've kind of gone down the tubes a bit the last few years.
Right.
But they might have something. I used to have a talking thermometer that I used to just show people just how, you know, you can be different. You just press it and, you know, a woman's voice comes off. The temperature, outdoor temperature is 26 degrees. The indoor temperature is 10 degrees, whatever, you know. Most instruments, obviously, weather stations, you know, are generally, you know, you do have to view them.
Visual,
but you know, try something like Oregon Scientific. That might be a company.
Where are they located, Jim?
I think they're in Oregon. I don't mean that as a, you know.
Question,
no, because they probably have places all around the country. But that's one that is pretty sophisticated. There's got to be a company out there that I know would have something like that somewhere. And, again, I know the only one I've ever dealt with is that talking thermometer that I had years ago. It still half works. It doesn't record tell you the outside temperature anymore.
Yeah, they're pretty prevalent, but they're usually like $20, which tells you right
you can
away,
get, yeah, if you're just interested in the temperature where you are, and you just press a button, and it'll give you the temperature. You just stick the probe outside the window wherever you're living, and you're able to, when you press the button, or a little knob, whatever it is, it'll give you the temperature, whether it's, it might just say 22 degrees, or it might say the temperature, outdoor temperature is whatever. Now, Dom, right. What do you got up there?
To get a quality one. That's what I was
Dom, let you've got something.
Yeah,
up.
Chuck, I got it. I just put it up online. I found it on Google, and I guess Oregon Scientific has one. I guess they have it through their L.L. Bean also has one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's about that one's about $60, which has everything in it. There's another one for about $34. But they're all ranging prices. You know, Oregon Scientific Thermometer, if you just Google that, you'll find everything on there.
Well, then I'll have to check that out then.
Yeah, you can just, it's very easy to find. You know, just go on there and there are prices on there.
Okay.
Oregon Scientific.
I'll let you guys go. I want to thank you for that information. And I'll do that, Dominic, L.L. Bean or Oregon Scientific.
Yeah.
At least that's a good start, you know. Hey, keep up the good work. I wish you a great vacation next week. Enjoy.
Thanks, Chuck. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you much.
Bye-bye,
right, Chuck. It's Chuck Whalen, another former 1320 personality back in the late 80s, early 90s. He did middays in the afternoon. He did noontime.
I remember.
Great guy. I think he's still living in North Providence, I believe he's still living. And he, Tom Rafferty, and myself spent many times going out for dinner and stuff like that. Great guy, as I said. But he was always getting all those calls in the middle of the afternoon. Nice to hear Chuck.
So he did a talk show with music as well, or just
talk? He mostly just talked. All talk.
Well, glad to talk to him.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. When Tom Rafferty was doing the show in the afternoon, we contacted each other for one point, and then all of a sudden, like, it was gone. But nice to have him on the air. We'll probably get in touch with him again down the line. All right, it is 9:37. We've got meteorologist Jim Corbin. If you would like to get on board on lines, phone lines are open right now. No one on the lines. 508-222-1320. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with meteorologist Jim Corbin.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Clean out your closet and share the warmth with those in need. The Duffy Pool Funeral Home Winter Coat Drive will accept donations of new or gently used winter coats from October the 24th right straight through to December 12th. A winter coat bin will be set up for your convenience at Duffy Pool Funeral Home, located at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. The coats will then be given to families during the week of December 18th through the 25th at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar, located on Linden Street. Thank you for joining Duffy Pool Funeral Home in assisting those in our community that are truly in need this winter.
All right, 9:39 on this Friday morning, mostly cloudy right now. I had some sun out there, a little partly cloudy there. We've got 50 degrees here in downtown Attleboro. Ready to take another phone call?
Sure.
Yeah, we got meteorologist Jim Corbin online with us, in studio with us online. I sound like Paul Healy sometimes like this. At least I don't have to worry about using the bell all the time. Good morning, you're next.
Yeah, I get the hint. Corbin's in studio. And now the door is locked. What's your point?
It figures.
Yes. The front or the back? Do you want me to go over and unlock it right now?
What door are you at?
The front door.
Okay, you're at the front. Why? Nobody's at the chamber today?
No, not. They're out till 11 o'clock.
Oh, it must be good.
Will the first door lock behind me?
Yeah.
So I can hold it open?
Yeah. Okay. He'll be out there in a second, Paul.
Go get him, Dominic.
All right, you too.
Hopefully. And hello to Chuck, by the way.
Yeah, really. Haven't heard it. There's a name out of the past, huh?
Yes. All right. Yes.
All right. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Yep.
All right. This goes Paul Healy. Of course, Jim's actually is running to go get the door now for him, which is nice for him to do that. All right. It is 20 minutes in front of the hour of 10 o'clock here on 1320. Jim Corbin live in studio with me until 10. He'll probably hang out for a bit with Paul Healy. We're going to take another quick break. I'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be
a... I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
The Attleboro Farmers Market has set up location this year at O'Connell Field in Capron Park, and parking is available at the Attleboro High School Bushy Street lot and all along Blue Pride Way. Enjoy a stroll through the park from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Saturday morning, right straight through until October 24th to find fresh fruits and vegetables at your fingertips. Buy fresh, buy local. For more information, feel free to send an email to attleborofarmersmarket@gmail.com.
All right. Yes, tomorrow is the very last day for the farmers market. And looking at the weather forecast, another decent weather for their last
one. It's been a great run for weather. It seems like there might have been only one Saturday in the morning and early afternoon, that runs from, 9 to 1, where we've had any kind of rain since the farmers market began. So it's been a really good run. Was a little chilly over this past weekend, and it'll be cool Saturday morning, but that's at sunrise. By 9-10 o'clock it'll be climbing back through the 40s, and so it should come to a nice crisp end with maybe even a little frost on some of the pumpkins.
Oh, I'm sure they'll still have some. A couple of weeks ago we noticed there was only about 5 or 6 vendors there, professionals over there. But I guess tomorrow, I understand there'll be a lot more since it's the last one.
I would think, And they're going to have it again at the same location next year.
Yeah, the newspaper yesterday, it said that Heather and Eddie Parikar and the rest of the crew there agreed that next year they will be back at the same place. Nice, they're still going to be doing some work at Finberg Field. But I think the O'Connell Field is where it originally was years ago. I think that's a great place to have it because, it's kind of that circular area. It's out there. And
so you think it's almost better at Finberg Field just for the – not against where it is now, but what was the reason they had it there this year is because of the issue with the geese and stuff?
No, the reason that they didn't have it at Finberg Field is because there was under the ground contamination. They were doing some work there. And I guess
– has that been completed?
I'm not even positive. I'm not even sure how much of it has been done. I haven't – I mean, go by it every once in a while, but I don't know how things are going down there, but every time I drive by there, it seems to be nobody there. It seems to be empty. But
at the field, at Finberg.
At Finberg Field. But no, I think O'Connell Field, I think they really fit very well there, all the people. And actually, I believe they had quite a number of other people there in the past at O'Connell Field. So they've been doing really well. And, unfortunately, tomorrow is their last one open. So hopefully people will get out there. Should be a nice fall morning tomorrow.
And it should be a nice late afternoon evening for the opening ceremonies for the stand, right? right?
Concession stand. Yeah, that's right. Tonight.
Tonight, Paul will be there, right?
Yep. Yeah, about 6:30. They're gonna be cutting the ribbon for the brand new concession stand.
Now it has been slightly open.
Yeah, they've had it open for the last couple of weeks.
But is it what like now fully operational with everything?
Yeah.
Beginning to.
One thing that I did notice
now you'll be able to get more than just the steamed hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
A fuller menu.
Now one thing that I do like about the new one is they've got the television. The screen is inside the concession stand, so you can actually see some of the games and stuff like that. I guess put a I think I heard from Jim Jones said they put a connection so you can see the video from the screen from the actual live games inside the screen.
Boy, am I glad I brought a comb with me.
Really? Yeah. but they actually started doing that about a couple of months ago. They had asked and they said, "Well, let's see if we can get a screen up here, a television." So I think that's is actually fully ready to go tonight as well.
Great. Again, good weather for that. Nice and cool and crisp. And
playing Franklin tonight.
Franklin should be a
good game. Yeah.
Yeah, they're usually a pretty good team. And, of course, you were up in Franklin last week. How did that go again?
It actually went really well. It was their first harvest stroll.
It's the stroll because they're doing something.
They're doing a little bit of construction on the Main Street area. There's still some. I mean, they really haven't really started it fully. But I mean, some of the sidewalks are not completed and stuff like that. So
is that right around the college too?
Yeah. Right before Dean College. Yeah, right. Yeah. About just a half a block away. And what they did last Thursday, they basically left us in the 20th century the 20th century real estate parking lot, which they usually have their strawberry festival stroll. And they usually have about 10 or 12 professionals there with their tents and stuff. I'm the MC. I'm playing the music. People going around getting crafts and looking at, different things. And it actually was very good.
And you didn't need a tent.
Right? I did not need my tent. No, I did not need a tent. I had it with me. I even brought my 6-foot table with me. When I got there about 2:30 in the afternoon, where I set up and where their main office is for the Franklin Partnership is only like a 2-minute walk. So I walked over, went upstairs to their office and walked into their office, and the two women that run it said, "I'm here." "Yes." We said, "We saw you driving in a few moments ago." He says, "All right, I'm going to set up my tent and stuff like that." "No, I don't think you're going to need the tent. It's going to be a nice thing." I says, "And I also noticed you already set up a 6-foot table for me." He says, "Yeah, you don't even have to worry about that.
Wow,
everything
that was nice.
Is ready." And then right before 8 o'clock, as I was getting ready to finish up at 7:45 and almost 8 o'clock, in fact, I was the last one to leave, of course, because I continued to play a lot more music for the last few people.
And you were getting some requests, too.
Yeah, you get people dancing and even people who are just hanging around. And boy, it was getting a little chillier there. When I left there, it was like 55 degrees. But I noticed that, as soon as I finished and took everything out of there, I was getting ready to leave. They were there taking the table right out of there, and they cleaned up that parking lot.
So you didn't have to do almost anything except play the music.
And just put my stuff back in my vehicle. When I turned around, because that street is still one way, and went around Dean College and around the other way so I can see it.
The railroad tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody was left. Everything was cleaned up. It looked like nobody was there.
Wow.
The whole place was cleared.
They had it well planned, ready for you to go.
Oh yeah, they did a great job with it. Usually they get about 1,000, 1,500 people at these strolls, they probably got close to 1,000. They're probably between 500 to 1,000 people all night long through, which was nice for them.
Excellent.
The funny thing is when I go down to Franklin, you can hear this radio station all the way as soon as you get off the highway, off of the King Street exit, and as soon as you get into town. It loses it. And then when you're going into where I was, I could pick up the station again.
Yeah, it flows out. You might know this, maybe. I still go to the same place where I get my hair cut in Milford.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes I'll go after I last talk with you and sometimes before I talk with Paul. So I have to fit it in there. But the point is that I've driven up 495 and it, like you just said, it sometimes fades out, but then it comes back. But Route 109 in Milford, although it's not clear, I can still get the station there. And that's the direction that I'm told that it's not as good. It's better off to the east and south.
Yeah.
But I could still get it, it's in and out, but you can still hear people talking. Matter of fact, one of the days that Paul had his daughter on, I think I was in Milford, and just as I was pulling out of the parking lot, it's right off 495 there. It was coming in sometimes all of a sudden a burst of clear and then and then fades out. And then once you get generally, I think you agree if you're going up that area on occasion, once you generally get to about Route 1A, I think on 495, at least going up in that direction, that's when it's you don't notice a change at all. It's nice and clear. And then it starts to kind of go in and out. And again, my old street that when I lived in Bellingham, I'd go the other way on King Street and through into Bellingham. It starts to get a little bit, but the point being, I mean, I was over in Duxbury at my brother's last week, a week and a half ago, whenever it was, and I could still hear the station coming in and out in Duxbury. So, I mean, that's good. And, of course, you can get it now all the way down to about the Cape Cod Canal.
Yeah, as I mentioned, when my wife and I went down there in May, we heard the station all the way down to P-Town. You could hear it, and you could understand. You could hear it because then at some point we're driving down Route 6, and I'm thinking like, what is this another radio station in it? And then I realized it was the middle of the afternoon. It was around like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, I said to my wife Carol, I says, let's wait and see if this radio station is, because we were going to Truro, were staying in Truro, and then we were going down to P-Town, right at the tip of P-Town. And it was like 3 o'clock. We're driving around, and the station ID came on. And you can hear Jim Jones saying at that time.
This was in Truro?
This was right at the tip of P-Town. At the Provincetown motel, which is the tip. We were doing.
Was it clear for coming in?
Yeah, it was clear.
Probably part of it because it's the
water.
Cape Cod Bay there,
exactly.
So it's nice. No obstructions.
Exactly. And how I know it is because at the time, back in early May, this was before we had Bob Bamberg doing the local IDs. It was Jim still doing it, and you could hear him. You're listening to AM 1320 WARA Attleboro. Boom.
So it almost wasn't quite as clear as you were going through the Cape, like Hyannis. Like, it wasn't quite as clear, probably because there's more obstructions.
Yes,
there.
Exactly.
You've got some of the hills.
Yeah.
You know, the people most people have been down the Cape, but Cape Cod actually is pretty hilly on the upper Cape. When you go over the canal, you can look to see pretty hilly terrain there. Matter of fact, there's a hill that's almost 300 feet. Here I'm getting to geography. But we're bringing this up because I think part of it is the geography, and it's probably clear. I don't know if anyone that's on some of the islands, Block Island or even Martha's Vineyard, my guess is you could probably get the station on Martha's Vineyard.
You can hear it on Block Island, and you can also hear us pretty well in Jamestown, which I've heard it in Jamestown, right at the water. I do know that on Block Island, I do know for a fact that you can hear it very well during the
Someone has told you that?
Yes, actually, we were down there. We were down to Block Island over the summer, and unfortunately, we didn't bring the car down there. But the funny thing is, at some point, I was talking to one of the retailers down there, and I don't know if he had done it, but he said...
You brought up the station?
Yeah, I brought up the station. I says, at some point, listen to the radio station. You know, he says, you know, it's like, oh, where are you from? And I says, I'm from Attleboro. I says, we have an AM radio station. It's been around, the station's been around for a long time. And I said to this gentleman, I says, yeah, at some point, listen to the radio and let me know, how you listen to it. And so the funny thing, this gentleman was a manager of a restaurant down there. And about a week later, the funny thing is I had given him...
You gave him the 1320.
Yeah, I gave him that. And I also gave him my email address.
Oh, okay.
I gave him my email address here to the station. I didn't give him my home email. I says, at some point, give me a shout out, or something like that, and give me an email message on the radio station. And probably about a week later, I had gotten an email message from this gentleman. His name is Ron. He's one of the managers from one of the local restaurants there. And he said that he heard it.
What?
He could hear it. And I said, well, did you, you know, and I emailed him back, and he got me back about like 20 minutes later. I says, did you listen to us online or on the radio? He says, I put it on the radio. I put it in the kitchen, and I could hear your station.
Did he say it came in pretty clear?
It came in pretty clear. He says, wow. It was around, he said he heard it at around like 11, 12 o'clock during the day, and he heard some of the music playing
so
earlier.
It was a weekend?
Yeah, it was a weekend. Yeah. He said he heard it on a Saturday, and then he heard it on a Sunday. He said the Sunday, he says, oh, I heard some music. I said, yeah, mostly the Sunday we play most of the music during the day. He says, I did hear some oldies. He says, yeah. In fact, he did. In fact, if I had gone back to my email, which I still have, and I remember, because he says, oh, you played some of the songs was Rolling Stones, and you played Chicago, and like, I says, yeah, it was on AM 1320. I remember listening to it, and it came in pretty clear.
That's
so
great.
And he was right in the center of Block Island. So,
and Block Island has a bit of elevation in some areas too. I've been there, flown over it a few times,
yeah,
and looked down at it, but I know the geography. So again, anytime you have any kind of elevation up and down, that could be an issue with AM, as you know.
Yeah.
But that's good to hear that it's there. So it's probably on Martha's Vineyard as well, although Martha's Vineyard, of course, has some elevation.
Yeah, I wonder if you can hear it on Nantucket.
I would think Nantucket,
probably,
even though it's further out, it's very flat. It's not like the Vineyard. So, I mean, Nantucket, you know, is very, you know, has very few hills, unlike the Vineyard. So I would guess, especially going over Nantucket Sound, I bet you can hear it on Nantucket. Mm. Maybe not clear, but so it's good to hear that, though.
Yeah, it really is. All right, it is 9:56. Still got 50 degrees, partly cloudy skies outside. We are here with meteorologist Jim Corbin, who will join us. We'll be here, I guess, hanging around for a few moments.
With Paul,
with Paul Healy. I'll probably be hanging out for a few moments as well. Just to remind you that next week I will not be here in studio. It's actually, Jim, this is I have not taken a week off in a year.
So you deserve it.
I do deserve it, I think. Yeah.
A little bit later.
Better than 4 o'clock. Yeah. Well, actually, the alarm goes off. The clock, for some reason, goes a little early every once in a while. 3:52. I set it for 3:55, and then every once in a while, maybe I hit it every once in a while, but I get up in time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can actually rest in bed for a few minutes until about 4 o'clock.
Unfortunately, you don't have a long commute, too.
No, it takes me 6 minutes. It takes me exactly 6 minutes.
At that
minutes.
Hour of the morning, there's
nobody on the road. Yeah. A few people are on the road, yeah. But I will be away next week. I think Monday, Thursday, and Friday, Jay Rogers will be here in studio, and at some point, probably after 8 or 9 o'clock, we'll probably be airing some of my older interviews that I've had since May, when we became WARA. So it doesn't matter. I mean, that is up to our general manager, Jim Jones, our operations manager. That they've been working on that for the last couple of days. I do know that. Tuesday and Wednesday, we're still figuring out who's going to be on, if anything at all. We're still in the process of thinking about that. But still, listen to us here at AM 1320. You can listen to us online at wararadio.com. I'll be back on November the 2nd. November the 3rd, Paul Healy and myself will be doing live election coverage after 8 o'clock that evening. We'll be on probably approximately about an hour or so, because they'll have the election results. Usually they start coming in around 8:30 or so. So we're inviting some of the people, the winners and the non-winners, to come down to the studio at some point. Paul Healy and myself will be doing the only live coverage of election on election night right here on 1320. The last thing, Jim, is hopefully as we get into November, before November, we don't have to worry about that right now. As you said, we may see a little wet weather on Halloween.
Well, it's trending now that we're going to have wet weather before Halloween and just after it. It looks like it's going to be kind of cool on Halloween. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be hot like summer, but it may be just a dry and cold Halloween, not bitter cold. But right now, it looks like Wednesday night and Thursday of next week, we'll get a batch of rain, some breezy conditions, and then perhaps just after Halloween, maybe the November 1st or 2nd, mm-hmm. when you come back. So so if the timing is right, of course, we don't want to have rain on Halloween. I mean, it's not like the end of the world.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's going to be, at this point, dry and cold. And, of course, Next week, I'll have more on that as we get closer.
Yeah, and of course, also next week is next Saturday now. Next Saturday is the day that people need to get the clocks.
When you go to sleep at night, again, officially it's 2 a.m. Sunday morning.
So right after, as people are getting ready.
Set the clocks back. We don't really lose any daylight, as I always say. We just rearrange the time that it happens. So it'll actually be a little brighter in the morning for a time, but it will be darker in the late afternoon.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for yours truly. We'll be back, of course, not next week, but the week after. Paul is up next. We'll hang around for a little bit or so here on 1320.